Jim Taylor on WMJ and WMJ.com. Going to check in with an old friend. He's back a couple of years ago, inducted into the Mercer County High School Hall of Fame. And this is a pretty cool honor that Josh Fordyce is receiving, a Westmer grad. This is something the Midwest Conference is doing. Josh had a stellar career playing college football at Knox College, and they're having a centennial celebration, 100 years of the conference, and they're naming it basically a top 100 they're highlighting. And this week, Josh Fordyce from New Boston, Illinois, Westmer grad, highlighted as one of the top 100 in that storied conference. My goodness, Josh Fordyce, congratulations. You had to be pretty excited, pretty surprised finding that out. That's an impressive achievement.
I was very surprised. I didn't know it was something they were doing. I actually found out through my wife, who used to work for the Northwest Herald, which is a newspaper up here in McHenry County. She found out through a former colleague of hers, and like I said, I didn't even know it was going to happen, so I was pretty thrilled.
How much do you miss playing?
Oh, I miss it terribly. But realistically, at 43 years old, I couldn't do it anymore.
You get the most out of that body, though. But that's something that maybe the competitive spirit never goes away. And I tell you, I thought one of the neat things that I saw this week when they posted, I saw a lot of people shared the story from the Midwest Conference. And I saw one of the comments that I thought was pretty neat was Brad Dixon, who is a graduate of Westmer and, you know, a top football coach in the state of Illinois now at Camp Point Central. And he commented about, you know, being a youngster and following your career and going to your games when you played collegiately. And I'm like, man, so Fordyce had an impact on him, and he's one of the top small school coaches in Illinois. So speak to that, man. That is a cool story, and sometimes we forget about how we can impact others' lives. So are you reflective in that moment at all?
Definitely. So football for us was kind of a family affair. As you know, I had two younger brothers, Jared and Joe, and coming from a small town and coming from New Boston, I mean, heck, we grew up a block away from the Dixons, Josh and Brad and Derek. So Joe and Brad were really good friends, and then Jared and Josh were good friends as well. So my dad came to every football game I played, whether it was home or away, and those guys caravaned with him, and they were at all of my games. So it would be kind of funny. I'd be in, you know, whether it be Lake Forest or all the way up at St. Norbert, I could look over on the sideline and find the posse that Dad would bring along, and Brad was usually there. So great times and great memories,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and then I interviewed Aaron Willits a couple of weeks ago, month ago, whatever, when he was named the head coach at Knox College, and one of the first names he mentioned is Josh Fordyce, and we need to get kids like that back in the program. So come on, Fordyce. What about that? That's pretty cool, too.
I'm really excited for Aaron. I don't know if you follow Knox football, but we haven't had a whole lot of success. my class was actually the winningest class in Knox history. And while that's cool to say that, on the same token, our records were typically like 5-4, 6-4, 6-3. So it wasn't as though we were powerhouses. So I really hope that Aaron can come in. Recruiting is everything in college, and I really hope he can come in and really pick up the recruiting locally, because there's a lot of good football players in the area, and a lot of them unfortunately end up at Monmouth, which is our rival. So I really hope that he can poach some of those players and get them over to Knox.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's going to do that. I mean, they got the right man for the job. When I was reading kind of your resume, hold the Knox record for sacks, 43 in a career, and then I didn't realize your senior year you had 23 and a half sacks. Man, that you all over the field, dude. So what about that? I mean, that's when you look back at those numbers and you say, man, maybe I do deserve this top 100 thing. Those are some pretty impressive numbers.
So I had the benefit of playing with a really good class. My senior class had another really good defensive end. We were stacked at linebacker. We had some really good interior defensive linemen. So while I can say, yeah, my stats were impressive and I was a pretty good college football player, on the same token, without those teammates, man, I wouldn't have been half as good. So we had a really good and fun year that year. I want to say we ended up top five in the nation in Division III defense and total defense and yards allowed. So we had a great year.
Yeah, and I know when, Josh, you were inducted into the Mercer County High School Hall of Fame class, I think it was a couple of years ago. What was the night like for you coming back? I know we interviewed you, you know, the week of the ceremony. We played the interviews back on the Hall of Fame program that night, the induction ceremony night. And I know you share some of your memories, you know, at that time. But then, you know, coming back and then maybe getting to converse with some people that you hadn't seen for a while, maybe face-to-face or whatever, what was that experience like, I guess, for you?
It just reminded me what an impact that so many people had in my childhood, and whether it be as a young man or even a young kid, that is, and all the way through, all the great coaches that I had from the Bizarres and Bob Stockham and Mick Lauck. I'll bring this story up again. I owe so much to Mickey Lauck because the guy literally used to drag me out of bed in the morning to make sure I got to the weight room. So our lifting crew was him and his brother Steve and Josh Russell and a couple other guys. But again, it made me go back and realize how fortunate I was to go to a small school where people really care about you. And you had those close relationships with people. You knew their families. Their families all knew you. Just reflecting on my coaching experience up here at Woodstock, where it's a bigger school and you have a couple thousand students, it's just different than what it was down there. You know, like you don't have the really close personal relationships that you do with people and their families like we did growing up in Westmore.
Do you ever wonder what it would have been like if consolidation occurred back when you were in school, where it was, you know, where it would have been Mercer County, Aledo and Westmore combined? Do you ever think about that at all?
So I remember that being talked about when I was in high school, and thinking back then as a young, immature guy, thinking, oh, I wouldn't want to do that. It might affect my playing time or just something selfish on that lines. But looking back now with hindsight, holy cow, I think we would have been powerhouse.
Oh, man, amen. So, yeah.
I mean, we had some great players on both sides, on both schools for that matter. You know, a lot of us had to play two ways. I think about how if we were able to specialize a little bit where, you know, guys could just play defense or just play offense, man, we would have been great.
All right. So you said Mick Lauck, you know, and I know you shared that story before with us, you know, drug you out of bed to get to the weight room or whatever. You know, sometimes there's lessons, you know, that they call it tough love, that maybe you don't want to hear some of the things that need to be said to you, but they had to be said to you by a coach. And at the time you probably get really PO'd about it. Is there any story you can share back in those days where, you know, maybe a moment had a real impact on you, whether it was a game or a practice or whatever, at such a young age, you think, hey, I have all the answers. And this guy that's coaching me right now really has made me mad. But now when you look back, you can say, man, I'm so thankful. You know, he gave me that tough love.
So I'm going to bring up a Darren Bizarres story my senior year, basketball season. He's going to laugh about this when he hears this, I hope it, because he's brought it up several times. So I was probably getting a little big in my britches at that time. It was we were about a quarter of the way through the basketball season, and we had a shoot around. And for whatever reason, I decided to try to make it to McDonald's and back before practice. So I came a couple minutes late to practice, completely unacceptable. But I didn't think at the time it would be that big of a deal. But Coach Bizarres let me know that it was a big deal. And not only did he let me know it was a big deal, I didn't start that night, which I don't think I'd missed a start. Since the beginning of my junior year, and man, was I peeved. I was so peeved, but what a great lesson. Like, that was totally the right thing to do. I mean, who am I, you know, like, show up on time, be an example. I'm so glad he did that to me, because it really reset my mind frame a little bit. Like, listen, man, like, you're not that important. Be there on time, be an example, be a leader. And I'm glad Darren did that to me.
Yeah. And you talk about, community and how important it is. And I know you can speak to it, and it probably remains, you know, tough today where, you know, you lose a brother at a young age. and you face all the emotions that brings. But then the only way that you're uplifted really is what? The community usually responds and comes together. Now I know you can speak to that.
Jared's funeral was I can't think of the word to describe it, because Little New Boston, they had to close down Main Street. They parked cars four wide all the way down to almost the river and all the way up to the top of the hill there in Route 17. The service was actually held there at the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church was full top to bottom, and there were people standing outside. And I remember looking back like, wow, like what an impact a 19-year-old kid, and his family had on people, and how the community really came together. I mean, I don't think we had to cook food for ourselves for darn near a month, mm-hmm. Like it was just, everybody really came together and looked after my mom and my dad, and my brother and I. I miss that aspect of growing up and living in a small town. It's just not the same up here, but man, that was quite an experience.
Yeah, so when you're back home, all right, and maybe you drive through the New Boston neighborhood, right? So mm-hmm. I mean, are you like reflective, and you see like your kind of your life, I don't know, flashing in front of you, and you recollect, your brothers and you, playing in the lot, whatever sport would be, baseball or football or basketball. I mean, do you have those vivid memories when you come back home?
Oh yeah, and winter memories were fun too, because there was the big sledding hills out there by the cemetery. One of them was called Suicide Hill, and it earned its name. But yeah, a lot of great memories with my brothers playing on slides. We had a six wheeler that we'd pull the slides behind. We'd do some bumper sliding, but it just going back, like I have a memory, it seems like, about every other block as I'm driving through New Boston of something either funny or scary or goofy that we did. And yeah, just to go with what you're saying, it's, for me, going back to New Boston right now is kind of therapeutic, because it brings back a lot of great memories that I had and getting to spend time with my dad, who still lives down there, and being there on the river. He's got a great house right over the bay, which we spend, I know you probably know my family, mm-hmm. growing up, they own the Bayview Fish Company. So there's a lot of memories of me and my brothers out in the bay, out in the water. So certainly brings it all back whenever I go back home.
Now, your other brother, of course, coaches at the Wise and Muscatine. Do you talk to him about that type of stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. You mean about sports?
Yeah, just like football, and like, hey, you should do this, brother. Yeah. They should do it this way.
I got to coach at Woodstock for 4 years. So early in my police career, I was the school resource officer at Woodstock High School. And I was able to be a varsity assistant my first year, a freshman assistant my second year, and then I was the freshman head coach my last 2 years. So I still got a chance to be around football and be around the kids, and still be around the game. And then I remember that was roughly around the time that Brad had started coaching. So whenever we would get together with Joe, we would tell football stories and coaching stories. And every now and then when Joe and I will talk, we'll do the same thing.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So, a kid growing up, a small town, going to a small school. I know, and I've talked with Darren Bizzari about this before. I know everybody wants to play at the big stage. And I know when you're a young kid, you had to be dreaming that I want to play D1. I hope I can play here. Go to Iowa or go to Illinois or whatever, play D1. All right. Well, you eventually come to the realization that that's not a fit for me. Maybe I can't do it. But you can have just as rewarding opportunity and career, going junior college if you want to do that. Darren Bizzari spoke about that, coaching at Blackhawk, and then, playing at the D3 level at Knox College like you did. So I want you here to take a moment for those student athletes that are listening out there. to a kid like Josh Fordyce, again, an All-American at Knox College, a stellar career, top 100 of the Midwest Conference, you know, over the last century. Why should a student athlete take a serious look at D3?
Here's my perspective on that. As a small town kid, not getting heavily recruited out of high school, I knew in my mind that, at least I thought I knew, that I could play at the next level. And there wasn't anybody that could tell me that I wasn't going to. So, Division III was an opportunity to do that because, again, I just wasn't highly recruited. I had a few, like, small offers from, Division II, 1AA schools, but realistically, I wasn't at that level yet. So going to Knox, I remember going back to the very first day I show up to training camp and you do a lot of the physical testing. So, you know, you're doing your running and lifting and you're trying to figure out, you know, who your athletes are. And I remember going into the weight room and there's a couple of guys warming up with like 365 on the bench press. And I'm starting to look around. I'm like, holy cow, am I in the right spot? So, I mean, that all went really well. And it wasn't within just the first couple of weeks of practice where I'm starting to make plays. I'm starting to pick things up, you know, and you're starting to get that confidence. They put me in first. The first thing I did was I made the travel team, which was a big deal as a freshman. So I make the travel team. They travel, I wanted to say about 58 kids at the time. And, the first game of the year we're winning. They put me in and my very first play, I get a sack. And you talk about a confidence booster. I mean, I was my very first collegiate play as I got a sack on the quarterback. I don't think the head coach at the time even knew my name. He just, as I was running off the field, he just said, good job, number 96. So, second game comes around and the senior starting defensive end ahead of me tears his ACL. So I go in and I start the rest of my freshman year. I had some learning experiences for sure. I took some bumps, but I was able to hold my own and ended up doing pretty well. And then by my sophomore year, I started out the whole year and I was all conference. And then junior year came around. I was conference player of the year, all American. Senior year, had a pretty crazy statistical season, you know, and just to take that one step forward from being a small school, a kid from a small school growing up in high school going to college. By the time that college was over, I knew I wanted to continue playing. So I tried out for the Peoria Pirates. Same experience. I go into the gym. We're in Morton, Illinois, just outside of Peoria, and it's an open tryout. And pretty much everybody there is a Division I college player. And it was the same experience I had the first time I show up at Knox. I look around. I'm like, holy cow, do I belong here? Because these guys are monsters, you know, compared to little 6'1", 240-pound me. So, and I'm trying to play defensive end because in that league, unlike the Arena Football League 2 that I played later in, you had to play one way. So I'm just trying to play defensive end, not fullback linebacker. So I go back on my experiences from being a small school kid where you had to work hard, you learned a good work ethic, and you didn't back down. And I brought that to that tryout. And, I was one of two guys that signed a contract after that tryout, out of the 60 or so who were there working out for the team. Fast forward to the Steam Wheelers, same type of experience. But what I'm noticing at this point is most of these guys that I'm playing with, they were all Division I or 1AA scholarship guys. And I'm not only holding my own, but I'm doing well. You know, like, my second year in the league, I was up for Ford Tough Man of the Year. The last year I played, I was all conference. So I guess my message here is don't let anybody tell you if you're a small school kid that you can't do it, that you can't make it to the next level. That's baloney. And in my mind, I proved it. So
yeah, that's great testimony. So it, kind of segueing from that, do you think there's any misconceptions, you know, from a D3 standpoint, maybe that kids in high school right now kind of don't understand? Like what I tell people, you know, you have to be good to play at the next level, you know, and you talk about work ethic, but you have to have talent too. And sure. Talking about just D1 level, you have to have talent at the D3 level. If you seriously go watch some of those games or junior college level, the dudes are good, you know, so you have to be good. So if you're thinking that, the talent and the competition may not be at D3 or junior college or whatever, you're wrong if you go in with that mindset. Cause they're like you said, you go into the weight room and you see you know, the type of athlete that's in there, you have to be ready to go to work, and you have to have the right competitive mindset, and you have to be ready to compete.
Absolutely. And I'll say that every level you jump, everybody is bigger, faster, and stronger. And if you're not ready, you're going to be made ready real quick.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was going to ask you too. A couple years ago, I was playing in this fundraiser basketball game for the Blackhawk area special education district. And they had, at the time, this was a couple years ago, they had the Steamwheelers head coach and defensive coordinator playing. And I remember this was at the height of, you know, there was a lot of conversation about CTE and all that stuff. And I said, hey, I said, is that CTE stuff, you think, really a big deal? And the coach, I can't remember, was the offensive coordinator or the head coach. And he played in the NFL and had a 6-year stint, wasn't a frontline player, but played a lot of special teams. And he said, yeah, he says, I think it's real. Cause he told me a couple of times, he says, I got knocked out in games and I don't remember what happened, you know, at the end of those games. I'm like, wow. Have you had, you know, in your playing days, you played for a long time. Have you had serious injuries, or have you dealt with any of that stuff?
So luckily I didn't ever break any bones playing football, and I never tore any tendons playing football. Basketball was a different story. However, I did get a bunch of soft tissue injuries. Like, I'd pull a hamstring, or I'd pull a quad, or I'd pull a calf. And those injuries were really frustrating because you couldn't really say, like, here's how this happened. You would just be running and your muscle pops and you're laid up for a couple weeks. So they're really frustrating. But going back to what you said about CTE, I do remember specifically there was a Steamwheelers game where I was on the kickoff team. I don't know if you remember, but there's nets in the end zone.
Yeah. Yep.
And if the kicker can kick it right off of the net, it's really hard for the guy to field it. Well, it just so happened to be one of those plays. I'm running down. I'm at a full sprint. The ball comes off the net weird, and the guy's having a hard time fielding it. He just fields it, turns, and I blast him full speed. I didn't even break down. And I had my head down like a dingbat. And the next thing that I remember is somebody picking me up off of the field. And I'm trying to get up in the huddle, and I remember seeing this on film later. One of the linemen, like, I'm facing the wrong direction. One of the linemen points at me and he kind of gives the sign like I'm knocked out and the trainer comes out and gets me. But I don't remember what happened. I had to watch it on film. What happened is I blast the guy. He actually fumbles it, recover it for a touchdown in the end zone. And I don't remember any of it.
So
yeah, I was probably out for a good, I don't know, 5 to 6 seconds on that one.
Wow.
But as far as CTE, I'm sure there's, I'm sure it's real. I hope it doesn't affect me as I get older. I doubt myself, but and going back to what you said about injuries, my worst injury by far was playing basketball when I tore my Achilles. That was the worst.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. You know, that I reflect back on. You know, you know when you continue to play and have success, you know, sometimes you're kind of pigeonholed and say, well, you played football. And I tell people, you know, just like when I've covered multi-sport athletes, you know, everybody talks about Tyson Blazer. Baseball player, you know, played at Iowa, tremendous athlete. I'm like, no, that dude, he could play basketball, man. He could, you know, he could play football or whatever. And I look back at you and I'm like, that dude could play. That dude could hoop. And I remember you told me, you know, when we interviewed you for the Hall of Fame show a couple years ago, you said that was your first love. And you love basketball just as much as football, right?
Yep. Yeah, basketball was my first love by far. You gotta remember, I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s during the Michael Jordan and the Bulls success, and I never missed a game. So basketball was my first love. My parents were good to me. They'd send me to Hawkeye basketball camp, which was a big Hawkeye fan. It was always a big deal. I did play 4 years of basketball at Knox. By my junior, senior year, I usually played around a 6th, 7th man role. Unfortunately, I never got a whole lot taller than 6'1", and my position was power forward. And the guys at that level were all 6'5", 6'6". Yeah. So I was a good bully. I could use my size and leverage and jumping ability, but giving up 5 inches was pretty tough at the collegiate level.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, congratulations. and a fine example for the student athletes here in the Mercer County School District, and a fine example for those kids that go to Knox Colleges too, as well. I know Coach Willett said he's looking for kids like Josh Fordyce to play at Knox College. I remember asking Coach Willett, I can't remember how he phrased it. The what do they call the Knox Monmouth game?
The turkey.
Yeah, and I forget how many games that Monmouth College has won in a row. You know, it's like so many in a row.
We have Knox College has not beat Monmouth since my senior year at Knox, which is 1998.
So. Yeah, because he said, you know, it's a butt kicking bowl or whatever. We're on the wrong end of it, and I look at you. You know, you were 4-0 against Monmouth College, so no wonder he wants kids like Fordyce to come to Knox College. But I know Coach Willits will enjoy hearing this as well, because he's going to do a good job at Knox. So Monmouth College, I guess they better get ready. All right, Josh Fordyce, always great to visit with you. I really, you know, I've been doing it so long. I was so fortunate, and I'm privileged to get the opportunity to, you know, cover some great. I still call you kids because, you know, I still think of you as a, you know, a senior or junior going to McDonald's and making Darren Bazari mad, which is okay. I'm cool with that. So I remember those days so fondly, and I you know, they meant a lot to me. And, you know, you talked about your dad and your two brothers, big part of it, and the Dixons and all that. So that was a lot of fun, and we've always appreciated covering you, and this is such a great accomplishment. So congratulations to you.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it.
All right. Josh Fordyce, man, that's pretty cool. 100 years of the Midwest Conference. They're documenting the top 100. And how about this kid from New Boston? Top 100, Westbrook grad, Josh Fordyce, joining us on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.